Corinthians chapter number 12. I was discussing briefly after we prayed tonight in prayer meeting time about how so often many folks come to church, and it's just kind of a ho-hum attitude, and don't really come expecting much and go home without too much and didn't pay much attention, and just kind of, we go through the routine but not really allow God to speak to our hearts. And that really concerns me. Then it concerns me as well that we have services, and so often folks lay out of those services, and sometimes the very thing that they need was dealt with. And it's always amazing to me that we don't see some things we ought to be seeing. God wants to work in our hearts. Amen? He really does. And we got to give Him that opportunity. I want you to notice something tonight. This message just, I don't know, just kind of rolled together. It was just kind of neat how God was speaking to my heart earlier this week. And some thoughts that went through my heart and mind, and the scripture that God gave me through it, and so forth. I want to preach on, here's my title tonight, There Was Given Me. There Was Given Me. As we read tonight, I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 12, verses 1 down through verse number 10, verses 1 through 10. And we will come across that phrase here, and I want you to notice that phrase as we read together. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1 says, It's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up into the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above a measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect, where, brethren? In weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. A little question there. Can you honestly repeat that from your own heart? Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you tonight for your precious word. I pray you just work in our hearts. I pray, God, that you might give us listening ears, an open mind, and a heart that is seeking after your will. Lord, tonight, just deal with us, and may you be glorified through it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I love that first song we sang tonight, Oh, That Will Be Glory for Me. And he wasn't talking about this, the songwriter was not talking about the fact that he was glorying in himself. What would be glory to him is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that's what this chapter is really all about. Paul is going to tell us why it isn't good to glory in ourselves. Though all of us would agree tonight that really it's all about God, we say, yes, it's all about God. But none of us tonight can truthfully say that all of our thoughts and all of our actions are even mostly about Him. Let's be honest. We think a lot about ourselves as opposed to about Him. We will find from our Scripture how the Lord takes our thoughts off of ourselves and puts them on Himself. And it's really strange in many regards how God does this. Well, let's look at verse 1, 2, 3, and 4 again. It says, not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. We know that the Apostle Paul had visions. We find six of them recorded in the book of Acts itself. You begin reading the book of Galatians and you come to verse number 12 and he says, for I neither received it of men nor was I taught it but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. God revealed it directly to him. When he wrote the Ephesians in chapter 3 verse 3, he says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words. And so we find that Paul was very familiar with God giving to him revelations and helping him to know God's will in a very unusual way. He goes on then in verse number 2, says, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. He says, man, I just don't know what kind of condition he's in, but he was caught up to the third heaven. You say, what in the world's a third heaven? Well, evidently there's a first heaven, a second heaven, a third heaven. Amen? Matter of fact, if we stop and think about it for a moment, the Bible says the foundation also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped and the rains from heaven was restrained. Where is that at? I would call that heaven number one. That's where you and I live at. God created the heavens and the earth. And He's talking about the atmosphere that you and I live in. And so here we are. By the way, that makes the kingdom of heaven make sense when we come to the book of Matthew. If we stop and think about that, just something to put in your thought pattern for just a moment. We also find that there's a second heaven. But again, in Genesis chapter 15, he says, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. Well, heaven number two evidently is outer space. So we got heaven and heaven. And then we find our Scripture here, and also we find 1 Kings chapter 8 says, hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant of thy people Israel when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. Referring to the abode of God. And so here we find Paul saying, I knew a man, he was caught up into the third heaven. He was caught up into the very abode of God, and he heard some things there that could not even speak about. Now, I believe Paul is speaking of himself as he writes here in these verses. For as we go on in the chapter, I believe it becomes very evident. In verse 5 and 6, he says, of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. He says, I'm not going to glory in myself and the fact that I was taken into the presence of God, but I will glory in the one that I was taken into His presence. I will glory in God, not in myself. And it's interesting that he says here, what I will glory in is mine infirmities. He's going to tell us a little bit more about that in a moment. And he says, though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or he that heareth of me. He said, I don't want anybody to think highly of me. It's God that ought to have the glory. And then he comes out with some tremendous words. In verse number 7, he said, and lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelation, notice the next words, there was what? Given to me. There was given to me. God had a gift. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now God allows this thing. And God allows this to come into Him, even though it says it's the messenger of Satan to buffet me. But he tells the reason, lest I should be exalted above measure. Hey, if you were hearing directly from God and nobody else was, could you start thinking a little bit highly of yourself? Could you start thinking, man, I've got something nobody else has got, but God says, hey, wait a minute, I want to make sure you understand something. And that is that I'm the important one here, not you. And so he allowed a messenger of Satan. Wow, that's an interesting thing. And it was for the purpose of Paul's humility. That he might take his thoughts off of himself and put them upon Christ. Listen, when one has greater talents than another, it's easy to lose track of where that talent came from and who ought to receive the glory for it. Sometimes we have award ceremonies and in schools and sports and different things. And you know, folks who get the awards are generally folks, I mean, they've got tremendous ability. And boy, everybody says, boy, look at that, look at that, look at that. And they begin to think, man, I'm really good, I'm really good. But who gave them the ability? Seriously. It is God that does that. Amen. And so we get this big head. But God says, listen, wait a minute. I'm giving you something that is going to help you. And we find it called here a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Interesting, this thorn here is called a messenger. 175 times in the Word of God, we find that this word messenger refers to angels. And since it was from Satan, I'm going to make the assumption that it's a demonized angel or a fallen angel, if you please, or a demon. And perhaps he was indwelling the ringleader amongst the false apostles that were seeking to tear up Paul's ministry and who, by the way, were at work in the church at Corinth. Interesting. The term buffet means to have ill treatment from other people. And also interesting is Israel's opponents were sometimes called thorns. In Numbers 32:55, he says, if he will not drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Interesting. As we look here at the Word of God, judging from the rest of this chapter, it makes me believe that perhaps the demonized false apostle here was maybe even attacking the church and the authenticity of the apostle Paul and bringing great and horrible pain upon the apostle Paul as his ministry was being ripped and torn. I do not know all that was there. Some say, hey, wait a minute. The thorn in the flesh is referring to when Paul was blinded on the road to Damascus. And he could not see. And we know from the Word of God that on one occasion he wrote and he said that he had to have somebody else write it because, he was writing it in very large hand because he just couldn't see well. We know he was blinded. We know that he had some problem evidently with eyesight. I'm not sure it really matters what it was. But he saw it as a gift from God. You have any problems? You have any things you face? I mean, day after day, month after month, we have things, don't we? Romans 8:28. What's it say? All things. How many? All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. We can quote that verse and we can say, boy, that's a true verse. But it's a very difficult verse to handle when we're in the midst of some trials. Many years ago, Brother Al Wells called me up. His wife was very sick. And matter of fact, she was at this time at the point of death. And they said that she needed some very specialized care, and he really didn't know what to do. And his daughter had talked to him, and his daughter was in the medical field, and she lived down in Alabama, and she had some things down there that were available to her, and they had talked a great deal, and they came to the conclusion that the best thing they could do was take his wife from Colorado and take her down to Alabama. Couldn't drive her down. It meant only one thing, and it meant that they would have to get a medical airplane to fly her down to there. He didn't know what to do. And he called me up and he talked to me and he said it's going to cost $8,000. He said insurance won't cover that and I don't really have it. He said, I don't know what to do. And then he said something to me, I've never forgotten it. He said, Gene, I've preached Romans 8:28 all my life, but right now I'm having a real hard time believing it. He said, right now in the midst of this, it's really difficult to believe that all things do work together for good. A few months later, I don't remember the details. God provided him the money. They flew her down to Alabama. She got better. They brought her back home. And I think it was a couple years later, she went on to be with the Lord. But God had worked some things. And he could look back now and he could see how God had worked it. Now, I'll give you a little something else about Brother Wells. He'd become one of my best friends I've ever had in my life. And Brother Wells worried about money. He was always worried about finances. And he believed God, but still he worried. You folks do that, don't you? And, you know, you're living from one church to the next. You don't know what's going to come as far as love offering. You know what your needs are, and you know that, man, this is happening. I need to take care of this situation, and I'm going to this church, and I know that they just can't provide that. And yet somehow through it all, God would work those things out. But after that experience with his wife, never, ever again did he talk about finances. God had done something for him through that most horrible ordeal that he ever experienced to help him to know and to be at peace in this area. And for the rest of his life, not one time did he ever say a thing. All things do work together. God gives to you and me some very hard things. No doubt many in this room have experienced some of those even this week or last week, the week before. And I hate to be a bearer of bad news, but there's more coming. There are things that are coming our direction. And whatever it is, when we can see it as a gift from God, wow, the difference it makes. I was telling somebody earlier, there's been a few times in my life when I looked at something and it looked horrible and I could see it and see, hey, God must have something in this and excited about what God was about to bring. That doesn't happen very often. And yet God can do that in our lives. Paul said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Wow. What's he saying? He's saying, thank you, God, for my weaknesses. Thank you for this situation. Thank you, O God, because in this I can see you work. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Wow. Like the Lord Jesus Christ at Gethsemane, he asked the Lord three times to remove it. And like the Lord Jesus Christ, the request was denied. However, his prayer was not left unanswered, for the Lord granted him something, and that was something even greater, the grace to endure. The grace to go on. Stop and think about it tonight. What will make your witness to the world greater than it is now? When you have a tremendous difficulty, they see it, and yet they see you going through it by the grace and the power of God. That speaks volumes. And the Apostle Paul came to the spot to understand that God's grace would sustain him no matter what. No matter what the adversity might be. I don't know about you, but it hadn't been too often in my life that I've taken pleasure in infirmities. Oh yeah, I fell down and broke my leg. Yes, amen, praise God. I'm really happy about this. Isn't this neat? I get a cast on. Everybody can sign this. Man, this is wonderful. We don't think that way too often, do we? Huh? Man, I lost my job. I'm sorry, I'm remembering one time I lost a job. They came to me and said, well, we're going to lay you off tonight. And I said, thank you. And I said to my foreman, now I'll go find me a good one. Honestly, I don't know what was in me, but that was in me. You know what kind of relief that is when you can have that kind of attitude? I don't normally have that kind of attitude. By the way, Monday I was working again. It's just amazing if we have that kind of realization. God gives us things like this to make us so. Clarissa, do you like tests? You're weird. You like tests? Really? How many kids like tests? I'm going to show you you're weird here, I think. How many kids like tests? Now I can't wait to go to school and have to. You guys are weird. Math. Oh, yes, I love math tests. The year was 1965. The month was January. It was the final exam. It was Calculus 101. It didn't matter if it was 404. I was still... I'd grown disinterested in it, and I walked into that exam, and I thought, oh, no. It was a five-hour class. I was carrying 17 full hours. What that meant was when I flunked this class of 5 hours out of 17, my grade average is going to go down below a D somewhere. And what that will make me is eligible for the draft. And here, I just thought to myself, here I come, Vietnam. That's what I was thinking as I walked in that class. By the way, only by the grace of God, I passed that test. To this day, I have no idea how that happened. Because I didn't know what I was doing. And I didn't copy because I didn't know enough to even copy. And I'll tell you what I didn't do the next semester. I didn't take Calculus 102. We found something else. Amen. But those things can do some things for you. They can teach you some things. We don't normally like tests. We don't get excited about them. We don't get excited about adversities. All right, you like tests. Do you like ouchies? Huh? Do you like getting cut on your arm? Do you like getting things up your fingernail? You ever get a splinter up your fingernail? Oh, that's exciting, isn't it? No? You don't like that? Those are adversities. I mean, all kinds of things can happen to us. And yet, what does God do with those? God wants us to learn through those things. Because once you do that, you're going to have it for a while. Now, we're not talking necessarily a sore in the body, but we have things in our lives. What we're going to have to do, depend upon the grace of God to take us through. Amen? We've got to look to Him, because this is bigger than us. And Paul, when he saw that, when he realized, hey, I could have this pride, but God's allowing this in my life so that I won't have this pride. And at the same time, God has shown me something about these adversities. Hey, God's grace will take me through it. And I can endure through Him. And I can have victory through Him. I don't know about you, this is a tremendous chapter. Tremendous chapter. As the Apostle Paul tries to get something through to us. God allows these things to come our way. We can call them His gifts. We can call them His gifts. We don't normally think of that. And many times we'll say, well, why did God allow this to happen? Because it's a gift and He's trying to do something in our lives. What it is, I don't know. But God does. Because Romans 8:28 is true. All things do work together. Somehow. By the way, He's not talking about all good things work together. He says all things work together for good. So we're taking all these bad things and work them together. Interesting. God is at work in our lives and wants to do something. Let Him do it. See that as it comes your way. And it will, man, I'll tell you what, it'll take a lot of the anxiety away. It'll be a blessing to your soul. You'll learn from it much quicker. Father tonight, work in our hearts. Bless, I pray, oh God. Father, as we come to problems and necessities and trials and persecutions and, God, all these things that come upon us, Lord, that we might recognize it really as a gift from You. Not a bad gift, but a good one. That which You're seeking to use in our lives to develop us. Like sandpaper that's rough upon the surface, but it brings a gleam and a shine and a smoothness to the character of the wood. What You're trying to do for us. I pray, oh God, You might bless in these moments. Perhaps there's one here tonight that needs to just seek Your forgiveness in an area. Perhaps tonight just dedicate their life to You in some area. Perhaps one here tonight, though we've not mentioned it, needs to be saved. God, do Your work in these moments. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand. Christina, if you just begin playing.